At the top of our program, attempts to reform flood insurance in America are having growing repercussions. Home buyers, sellers, and others across the country are being slammed with soaring increases in the cost of flood insurance. This instability follows bipartisan congressional attempts to reform a widely criticized federal flood insurance program that's in debt by about $26 billion. The costs and all the uncertainty is having a sometimes powerful impact locally in Lansing. About 2,500 homes and about 200 businesses lay in floodplains. And some homeowners in those areas are being forced out of their homes due to the added costs. Well, here to help us understand what's going on is Rhonda Oberlin. Rhonda's an emergency management specialist for the city of Lansing. She's also a certified floodplain manager who's been following this story. Welcome to Current State.
Hi, Mark.
This is a complicated story since it involves insurance, and we will try to keep it as clear as possible. For many years, the federal government played a key role in flood insurance. How did it used to work?
Well, since the late 1960s, the federal government has been in the flood insurance business. You can't make money in flood insurance, so insurance companies don't want to offer flood insurance. So the federal government took it over, and even though you buy your policy through your local insurance agent, you're actually buying it from the federal government.
Okay.
The National Flood Insurance Program, as it was created, was intended to do two things. It was intended to discourage floodplain development, and it was intended to reduce the number of people who lived in the floodplain. And over 30 years, they thought that all of the homes that were receiving subsidized rates would be gone. The subsidized rate, right now the subsidized rate is about 97 cents per $100 of insurance, and that's the rate that everyone used to get if their house was built before the flood maps were created, and it didn't matter their risk, everybody got the same rate. Under Biggert Waters, the Flood Insurance Reform Act that was passed in 2012, that changed. People were starting to move toward actuarial rates or risk-based rates.
Okay.
So the deeper you were in the floodplain, the higher your rates would be.
Is it accurate to call this the more recent activity? Is it accurate to call that some form of cost shifting?
It was definitely intended to shift the cost. The National Flood Insurance Program was intended to shift the cost from the taxpayer to the people who lived in the floodplain. It didn't work.
And it just hasn't worked.
No, the costs still are on the taxpayers, and it also hasn't discouraged development.
Well, let's talk about the more recent history. The Biggert Waters Act that you just alluded to a minute ago is less than 2 years old. This was flood insurance reform that enjoyed bipartisan support in the Congress. It was intended, as you say, to make the flood insurance whole, to make it pay for itself by raising rates. What went wrong?
They really weren't aware of what the rates would be. It was intended to nudge people out of the floodplain, and what they ended up with was a sledgehammer. They didn't see how far the rates were going to increase, how drastically they would increase. And that's been the problem.
And now, as it turns out, there's a bipartisan effort to undo the Biggert Waters Act of 2012. To make the program viable, though, rates have to be going up. Are we right about that?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The program can't keep going the way it has. When there's a major disaster, when there's a hurricane or a major flood, the program isn't solvent enough to pay those flood insurance claims.
Now, one more positive aspect of this story is that I take it rate increases will take some time to reach most of the people here in mid-Michigan. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct. When a community gets new maps, everyone in the community is subject to the new rates or to a gradual increase toward those new rates. In this area, in the Tri-County area, our maps were adopted shortly before Biggert Waters was adopted. So
these maps are over the floodplain?
Floodplain maps. Okay. Insurance rate maps is what they call them. But it determines who's in the floodplain and who's not for insurance purposes.
Okay. So it will be a while before these rate increases reach most people, but who is it affecting now?
Business owners are seeing a 25% annual increase as they move toward actuarial rates. And that's a 25% increase of the rate that they'll have. So it's not a gradual increase. Over 4 years, they'll be reaching actuarial rates. And business properties now also include rental properties, so even residential rental properties are affected by that. Also, anyone who's buying a home in the floodplain will have to pay risk-based rates immediately.
And we are hearing accounts, we've begun to hear accounts of people who have been really gone through a great deal of trouble with regard to the flood insurance. Roby Wood is an executive at Coldwell Banker Hubble Briarwood here in Lansing, and he related an account to me where a buyer was interested in a home in the floodplain, and the flood insurance went from $683 a month to $6,257 annually. This was a $55,000 home. The deal fell apart. The house had never been flooded. It had never flooded in all the years that it's been there. But this is an example of the kind of impacts that that are already beginning to unfold. How concerned are you with regard to, I mean, how much worse could this problem get?
Well, I think the immediate impact is on new people who are buying homes in the floodplain. And if you can't sell your home in the floodplain, people may walk away from their mortgages because they can't sell the home and they can't afford to stay there. If you have a home with a basement in the floodplain and your first floor is within 2 feet of the base flood elevation, monthly insurance payment is going to be roughly equal to your monthly mortgage payment.
Who is supposed to own flood insurance? Is every homeowner supposed to own flood insurance?
If you have a federal mortgage, and most people do, and you live in the floodplain, you are required by law to have flood insurance. Not everyone does. Some people let their insurance lapse after a few years. Right now, only about 17% of the people who should have flood insurance in Lansing do have it. And if you own your own, if you own your home outright, you aren't required to have flood insurance either, even if you are in the floodplain.
We're talking with Rhonda Oberlin of the City of Lansing. Rhonda is an emergency management specialist for the City of Lansing, and she is knowledgeable about Lansing's floodplains, which makes her relevant to a discussion about all the changes in flood insurance in this country, which are really starting to have an impact. What percentage of people in Lansing who should have flood insurance actually have it?
And that's 17% of the residences and about 18% of the businesses.
Why so few?
Because it's expensive. Even before the flood insurance reform and this move toward actuarial rates, people found flood insurance very expensive. And we haven't had a flood in this area in a long time, so people tend to think their flood risk is low when in fact it's not. We've had a major flood in this area every 30 years since Lansing was settled. So we are due for another flood. Our flood risk is actually greater than it was in 1975 because of all the development that's gone on since then. But if you have to choose between paying the bills of your business or paying your gas bill or buying groceries and paying flood insurance is an easy thing to let go.
Yeah. Now, I understand mortgage lenders play an interesting role in this. Can you explain that?
Well, mortgage lenders are the enforcers. They're the ones that before they can give you a mortgage, if you are buying a home in the floodplain, you have to demonstrate that you have a flood insurance policy. And FEMA's put it on them to make sure that people maintain those policies. So periodically they may audit their accounts and see, if anyone has let their flood insurance lapse. And in that case, they can enforce that and they can force them to buy flood insurance.
This is a really interesting topic to have right now because we have a lot of snow on the ground. The temperatures are finally going to be going above freezing here after weeks of being below freezing. How do you, as the floodplains specialist, assess Lansing's flood risk here in the coming days?
It's higher than it has been in quite a while. In the next 6 weeks, we really could see some serious flooding. We have more snow on the ground than normal. There's more water in that snow. The ground is frozen deeper than normal. There's more water in the ground than normal. There's more ice on the rivers than normal. And when the spring melt comes, all of those things can come together, especially if we have a wet spring, and really contribute to the flood risk.
You are so on top of this. I have to ask you, as someone who follows this, what are there any solutions that you see that the Congress should be looking at?
I don't know how to solve this problem, and I think that's one of the problems with the reform bills that are being passed right now or being looked at right now, is that they want to delay this until there's a solution. And I don't know that there is a solution other than, you know, putting this cost, somebody has to pay this cost. In the past, it's been the taxpayers through Congress that have paid the cost of these flood losses. So who should pay those losses, or how? Where is that money going to come from if it doesn't come from the homeowners that live there? I'm not sure what the answer to that is.
Do you know, are the feds concerned with getting back the $26 billion that's already in, that we've already lost?
No, I don't think they're concerned with that. I think they're concerned with not putting another $26 billion into this program in the future.
Yeah. And what role is city government playing in this?
We're waiting and seeing. You know, it's going to be, if this continues, and if there is the foreclosure crisis, if a foreclosure crisis emerges from that, that's going to be our primary concern in city government. Mm. One thing that we're doing from an emergency management standpoint is that we're really encouraging people to flood-proof their homes. And we're looking at doing a pilot program next year where we'll flood-proof a small group of homes. And to do that, it means if there's a basement, you have to fill the basement. If the first floor needs to be elevated at least 1 foot above the base flood elevation. You know, you can use flood-resistant materials to remodel. There are a lot of little things you can do, a lot of big things that you can do to make your home resistant to flooding. And what that does when it's complete is it puts you in a different flood insurance rate bracket. So instead of paying the 97-cent subsidized rate or the $18 non-subsidized rate, your rate's going to be
way down.
It goes about cuts it in half from the subsidized rate. So if you're paying $600 a month right now, you'd only pay $300 a month. So it gives you significant savings. And it does, that's what really the flood insurance program was intended to do all along. It wanted people to make their homes compliant with floodplain regulations.
Okay.
So we see that as a good solution.
A very enlightening discussion. We want to thank our guest, Rhonda Oberlin, Emergency Management Specialist for the City of Lansing. We've been talking about flood insurance and necessary reforms. Thank you, Rhonda.